So it is Mother's Day, and I was just talking to my mom, and she's with, as I said, with my brother and one of my sisters. I have two older sisters, and this would be the younger one. And a lot of memories growing up with four of us in the home. Some of you had siblings a couple of generations ago. It wasn't uncommon to have five or six, seven kids in the home. And one thing that you learn is you do not want to upset mama in the house. There's an old saying, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. That's right. So I can remember just all kinds of great memories, though, of my mom making us happy. Recently, when I visited for the holidays, my friend Lisa was with me, and my mom got up every morning we were there and made biscuits. And my friend was amazed at how the biscuits came out perfect every morning, and it took my mom no time to make them. How many of you know your moms like that? Like, they can just whip something up like that. Don't worry. I know we're kind of losing that generation. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. We got moms that work now, and that's why we have McDonald's out there at the end of Bayou Gosh Road for you to be able to whip something up in a hurry. So, but listen, I might have told you this before, but she used to have this big green Tupperware bowl. Do you remember those? It was a big green, it was really about this big around, and it had a snap-on lid. Naturally, it was Tupperware. Hello. You with me, men? Okay. It's Mother's Day, all right? So it's full of flour, this big old thing. And when she gets ready to make biscuits, she would take her fist and just put it down in the middle of that flour and just like make a little bowl in it. And then pour in enough milk and enough oil to make exactly one cast iron skillet full of biscuits. I mean, it's just a mama thing. How do you do that? I would make 175 biscuits in that because it would just keep making dough and making dough. Love, love, love memories of my mom from obviously our earliest ages. Some of you have lost mom. Some of you didn't have a relationship with mom. Some didn't have a relationship with dad. We all have different stories. So I want you to know today, God's going to speak to you no matter what the case. But I have memories of having my brother pick at me. Now, we loved each other. We grew up hunting, fishing together, trapping together, going to the creek together, riding bikes, learned to ride a unicycle from him, all kind of stuff. But now, he did love to pick at me. And I mean, I've told you, I'm trying to think if I want to break back to youth pastor days and tell you the gross stuff. Shake your head if you don't want gross. Okay. I want to tell it anyway. He would hold me down, put his knees on my arms and hold me down. All right. And he had a talent that he could let spittle come out of his mouth and suck it back in. And he would be over me. And I'm hollering. Ah! And then I remember I don't want my mouth open, so I don't holler. So I'm going, just torture. I remember one time my parents were out of the house, and he and I had had some kind of argument, and he was always a lot bigger than me, a lot stronger, so I was running from him, and I ran through the kitchen, and as I was running through the kitchen, I pulled one of the chairs out in front of him to slow him down, and he hit it wide open, boom, just breaks the chair, and I mean, in an instant, we went from warring against each other and being enemies to how are we going to fix this chair before mom gets back? I mean, we're totally, I just stopped running, he stops, he gets up, we pick up the chair, now we're a team. So we get it put back together, we think it's going to, you know, it's going to work. Mom and dad walk in, they walk through the kitchen, we're just kind of watching like, you know, whistling, just everything's normal, wonderful. And she says, what happened to my chair? And my dad, being the prophet that he is, said, I'll tell you exactly what happened to your chair, Auntie Ruth. Kenny did something to Keith. Keith was running from him and threw this chair in front of him. I was like, where are the cameras in this house? But growing up, you did not want to be in trouble with mama or dad, but it just seemed like you wanted to please mom. You didn't want to be in trouble with mama. My mama's a good, good woman, but I want to tell you something. She'll whip you with anything. I don't know if you got spankings. She whip you with whatever's laying by. I have been spanked with a brush, a comb, a spoon, a spatula. Okay, I know what y'all thinking. No, that was not abuse in our days. That was good parenting. You don't want to be in trouble with mama, but you know what? There are times when trouble comes. There were times in our lives when you, as having three siblings and a bunch of first cousins, you would hear, ooh, you in trouble now. Ooh, you in trouble now. You going to get it now. You know, that's the name of the message today. You are in trouble now. You know what? Life brings trouble. And that may not sound very encouraging, but once we understand as Christ followers that life does bring trouble, there will be trouble in this life, when we learn how to respond to that with God and with the Holy Spirit, then we can have the life that God has called us to. And if there's any doubt what that is, let me just tell you that Jesus Christ himself said, I have come to give you life and life to the fullest. How many of you want to live life to the fullest? I mean, I'm standing out there watching people come in, and one of our men come in, and I mean, he has not paying attention to me. He's not paying attention to anything. He has spotted the Harley sitting out there, the red Harley. You know, and he's walking around it, and he looks up at Pastor and said, did you get you one, Pastor? No, well, life isn't that full yet. But God wants you to live a full life. Jesus said, I want you to have a full life. I want you to have life to the fullest. But he also said, in this life, in this world, you will have trouble. I want us to look at a mom in the Bible today that had trouble. Her name is Rizpah. She was a concubine of Saul. Just to kind of explain what a concubine was in those days, God allowed this. The king would have wives. Most wives were political marriages. They were a lot of times arranged, and they happened according to descendants or family or even treaties and those kind of things. But concubines were not the official wife, but they were more like a wife that the king actually chosen because she was beautiful and that kind of thing. And so that's what Rizpah was with Saul. And no, God does not allow us to do that these days, just in case you were wondering. So Rizpah has children with Saul. Now, Saul is the king of Israel, and David is becoming king. God has chosen David to be king, but he's not king yet. And Saul breaks a treaty with Gibeah and attacks the Gibeonites. Well, now Saul is dead, and David is king, and he's asking God, we're in a famine. Is it something we did wrong? And God said, you're in a famine because I'm punishing Israel because Saul broke a treaty with the Gibeonites. I told you not to attack them, and he attacked them. And so Rizpah's children from Saul, the descendants of Saul, are you with me? Saul, who mistreated the Gibeonites, who broke the treaty, his descendants, his grandchildren and great-grandchildren and the sons of Rizpah were handed over to the Gibeonites, and the Gibeonites hung them. And that was their retribution for what Saul had done. And actually, the famine was lifted. So here's what I want to show you. I just want to read you one scripture. After Rizpah has her sons hanging there out in the weather, and what they did back then was they would leave the bodies there. They would not let you take them down and bury them, because they were trying to dishonor their enemies. So, and a lot of people believed back then, first of all, it was an honorable burial to take them down and be able to bury them. And also, some even thought that it was a curse not to be buried, to be left out like that. So here's what Rizpah did when her sons were hanging there and they had been killed. This is 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10. Rizpah, daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on a rock. Now, sackcloth was used for repentance when someone wanted to ask God to forgive them or they wanted to mourn. And Rizpah, being a concubine, could afford any type of cloth, a king's, you know, kind of like a queen, really, or a princess. She could have taken any kind of cloth out there. So the fact that she's using sackcloth lets us know her attitude right now, that she's in a heart of repentance, not only mourning for her sons, but for the fact that Israel had sinned against Gibeah in the past, and she's out there humbling herself, already brokenhearted, mourning over her sons with sackcloth. So sackcloth represents mourning and repentance. She spread it out for herself on a rock. From the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies. She did not let the birds touch them by day or the wild animals by night. So here's what Rizpah did. From the beginning of the harvest season until the rainy season came, she was out there guarding the bodies of her sons day and night. She was making sure that the buzzards didn't pick their flesh during the day and that the coyotes or the jackals didn't eat them at night. And for it to be from the beginning of harvest till the rainy season came, that was most likely 4 to 6 months that she was out there day and night guarding her children. So Rizpah had some trouble. One of the first things I want to show you this morning is you will have trouble in this life. Moms, dads, sons, daughters, that pretty much covers everybody, right? You will have trouble in this life. Now, Pastor, what are you doing? You trying to encourage us? You finally, you know, you got a good crowd at church. Now you just want to tell us, guess what? You're going to have trouble in life. You know, let's take an offering and go home. No, let's just deal with reality. There will be trouble in this life. Jesus said it in John 16:33. He's telling his disciples, I'm going to go away for a while. You're going to be sad. Then you're going to be happy again. But here's what I want you to know. Here's why I'm telling you what I've told you. He says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. All right? In me, you may have peace. So in Jesus, we have peace. Say that. In Jesus, we have peace. This is what he's saying. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. So that's what Jesus is telling us. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, just by the fact that Jesus says, he warns us that in this world, you're going to have trouble. If you're in trouble today, and you know what it feels, I mean, I've been in trouble before. We were in trouble because we broke that chair. Trust me, that was not the worst. I broke a pool stick over him one time. It's not as bad. Pool sticks break easy. It's not like it looks in the movie. And I just hit him across the back with it, and it snapped. Do I have to explain this? So we taped it up. We took electrical tape. So we had a pool table there and everything. We took electrical tape, and we taped the whole pool stick. We thought they'll just think we're doing something cool, you know, to put tape on the pool stick. Again, first thing my daddy said, who broke the pool stick? We would get in trouble. If you're in trouble now, I want you to know something. It doesn't mean that you're not a child of God. Now, whether you're a Christ follower or a child of God is dependent upon whether you have made that decision today. You can't be born into it. You can't be baptized into it. You can't join a church into it, but you can accept Jesus Christ. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But listen, just because you are in trouble does not necessarily mean you're not a Christ follower. Just because you're in trouble today doesn't mean that God is angry at you. Just because you're in trouble today doesn't mean that you're a failure. What it means is that you live in this world. And Jesus says, look, as long as you're in this world, there's going to be trouble. But just from the fact that he says this world lets you know that he's ensuing, he's letting you know there is another world. You can have trouble in this life, but there is another life. You can have trouble in this world, but there is another world. But not only that, he says this, but take hope, all right? Because in this world, in this life, I can give you peace even though you're in trouble. Isn't that awesome? Even though you are in trouble, I will be with you and I will give you peace. Boy, I wanted peace when I was in trouble. How many of you remember back when you would travel with your family and you were like in a station wagon or anything? This week on Daytona Beach, I saw like a 1981, one of the last big old long Ford station wagons. And it was the ugliest, longest thing you've ever seen. And I had the weirdest thought. I don't know if it's an age thing. I was like, I'd like to have that. That's kind of cool. That'd be a cool beach vehicle, you know? Just so ugly, it's cool. Kind of like me. But anyway, so where was I? Just the fact that he said, you're in this world, but there's another world. You're in this life, but there's another life. I can't hope that I'm going to have a perfect life. Just because I'm in trouble doesn't mean that God's mad at me or that God doesn't love me. It means that I'm living in this world. And he says, take hope. Here's the deal, moms. Can I help you today? Dads, sons, daughters, don't try to make heaven on earth. You're not going to have perfect children. If you have a perfect child, don't have any more. Just stop with the perfect one. Nobody is going to have perfect children. And if they look perfect, let me just let you in on something. They're hiding something from you. I'm kidding. They really are perfect. You're not going to keep a perfect house. Just look straight at me, men. You're not going to keep a perfect house. You're not going to keep a perfect garage. You're not going to have a perfect job. You're not going to keep perfect finances. In this world, there's going to be trouble in some places. There's always going to be trouble. And God says, you don't have to worry and fear about that, because guess what? This is not the only world. There is another world coming. And you don't have to fear and you don't have to worry about all that, because this isn't heaven. Pastor Keith says, this ain't heaven. We're living for something more. Guess what you have coming to you? You have, as a child of God, moms, you have an eternity reserved for problem-free living. You have eternity. Christ follower, there is an eternity reserved for you for problem-free living. So here's what we do in this life. We trust God and we ask him to give us peace in every circumstance, because trouble's coming. So here's the deal. Don't wish for a trouble-free life. There's no need in even wishing for a trouble-free life. We think everything would be good if life was trouble-free, all right? I was out of town last week. I was having a good time. You might tell, I got a little tan. Got me a new shirt, some new shoes. Not that I want you to notice anything like that. I don't want to distract from anything. So I've had a good time. I come back home, single parent, have left a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old at home by themselves all week. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You never know what you're coming back to. I mean, you come back, your yard could be rolled, you know. You could have a dent in your car that wasn't there. I mean, I don't know if y'all understand these things, but you just kind of never know. Well, I got home, and my house was kind of a mess. And I didn't leave it that way. I had actually cleaned it up, because I always feel better coming back home. And maybe I'm connecting with moms on this, because I'm kind of the mom of my house. I always feel better coming back when I've been somewhere to a clean house. I don't want to come back in and know I still have to do dishes and clothes and all that. Now I'm connecting with moms, right? So I come in, the house is a mess. I don't get upset about it. I'm just thankful that I have a house, because I'm perfect, and I don't let that kind of stuff bother me. Y'all saw me looking up for the lightning, didn't you? No, I did. It kind of bothered me, but I went to bed. So my oldest son, Murphy, he's 20. He comes in from working graveyard last night. I don't sleep very much. I was awake when he gets home about 3-something. And I start hearing this noise a little bit later in the house. And I think I'm having a dream from God, that I'm having some kind of vision. I must be having something special going on, because I could just swear that that sounds like the sound of somebody cleaning house. I'm like, that sounds wonderful, but could it be? So I get up about 5:30. I walk in the kitchen. The kitchen is immaculate. There had been dishes in the sink. It was great. Everything was fine. Floors have been swept. Living room's been swept, straightened and dusted. There's Murphy standing there with his old sleepy head. And I cleaned the house, Dad. I was like, I didn't do that. I said, don't do that. Don't ever do that. I've told you guys, ladies, moms, let me help you. If he finally opens a door for you, don't look at him and go, what got into you, Fred? It's about time. He's never going to open the door again. Okay? So I didn't do Murphy like that. I just told him thank you. Here's the deal. Life's not always perfect. You're not always going to come home to a clean house. You're not always going to have all your ducks in a row. Life is not always going to treat you that way. So don't even wish for a trouble-free life. Instead, do this. When trouble comes, let it alert you to the need for God's presence. Let it remind you, okay, Lord, this isn't a perfect life. Something has happened. Instead of me going crazy, instead of me getting angry, instead of me losing my peace, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this as a reminder that I can't do anything without you. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even take my next breath unless you give it to me. So instead of freaking out over life's troubles, instead of wishing for a trouble-free life, I'm not going to resist the difficulties. I'm going to understand that my problems aren't random, that God has a hand-tailored blessing weaved into my problems and my trouble and my circumstance, and he's going to bring good out of them. When you start to feel stressed, moms especially, let those feelings alert you to a need for Jesus and that you can trust him and you can rely on him. So if I'm not going to wish for a trouble-free life, here's what I can do. I can anticipate trouble. I can anticipate trouble so that I can handle it with honor. And this is for everyone. When I get up in the morning, I can understand, you know what? This day is not going to go perfectly. Some person is going to cut me off in traffic, and I'm not going to call them idiot. And I'm not going to tell them they're number one, and I'm not going to blow my horn because I am anticipating that I am the only one on the road that really knows how to drive, right? Well, no, it's not really that way, but unless you're in downtown New Orleans. No, I'm going to anticipate, Lord, when trouble arises today, would you equip me to handle it? I'm going to, instead of letting it turn my world upside down, instead of feeling like the rug has been pulled out from under me, I'm going to anticipate trouble so that you will help me handle it with honor. The best equipping that he does for us is his presence. And did you know what? Rizpah was a mom who handled her situation with honor. She decided, I'm not going to let the buzzards and the jackals eat the flesh and pick the bones of my sons. And today, spiritually, we need some Rizpahs. We need some moms that will stand up in the face of this world and in the face of Satan and say, you are not going to have my children. If I have to stay up night and day, I am going to do what it takes. And let me say this. This is going to sound funny to you, but our culture has it messed up. We think we're supposed to serve our children, and I get that. I've done it with mine, and I've spoiled them the best I could. But did you know that the Bible actually teaches that children should serve the parents? If you really read your Bible, I know it's getting quiet in here. Especially the kids are like, dude, what? Yeah. You know what children in the Bible did? They're the ones that washed people's feet when people came into the house with dirty feet and wearing sandals. It was the children who served the parents. Now, oh, don't even get me started. When I was young, the adults had to eat first. My mama didn't fix us a plate before the adults ate. By the time I had children, we fed the children first. I don't know what that has to do with what I'm preaching on. I'm just telling you, okay? When it comes to our children, the best thing that we can do for them, the way that we can serve them the best, is to introduce them to Jesus and have our children fall in love with Jesus. And if they don't know him, one of the most powerful things we can do as an adult parent with adult children is we can still parent them through the Spirit by fighting for them in the spiritual realm and praying for them and demanding that Satan will not pick the flesh off their bones. He won't have their life. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? So Rizpah acted in honor. She also acted enduringly. She had endurance. It was 4 to 6 months she fought off those animals. 4 to 6 months. Let me tell you this. Endurance turns trouble into training. If you're going through trouble and you can endure and you can recognize that God is equipping you in every situation, and you can call on his presence. What is that? That sounds like good words, but how does that work, Pastor Keith? I'm talking about when you get up in the morning and all hell is breaking loose in your life, as a child of God, you have the opportunity to just say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to give this to you. And I'm going to, instead of flying off, instead of trying to cope, instead of running from the problem, I'm going to endure until this trouble teaches me something. How many of you learned some stuff as a kid that you just learned you didn't want to do that anymore? Remember that biscuit pan I was talking about with my mom? It's an iron skillet. If you have not cooked in an iron skillet, you need to learn how to do that, ladies. Ask me about it. I'll tell you how to do that. I have one of my mama's old iron skillets. They are seasoned. Anyway, when she set that thing on the table, it was still very hot, and sometimes she wouldn't put them in a plate, or maybe it's sitting on the counter, and that iron skillet has been in the oven, not on top of the stove, it's been in the oven. And if you touch that handle, you will let go. Yeah. And if my daddy did something like that, and somebody would say, "Is that hot?" He'd say, "No, it just don't take me long to fill of an iron skillet." Yes, it's hot. So you learn not to do that. Listen, trouble will teach you something. It's not just Satan trying to ruin your life, but God is actually training you. And if you will endure hardship, if you will endure trouble, God will make it training in your life. There's one other thing I want to show you this morning. You don't have to wish for a problem-free life or a trouble-free life. Trouble will come, but Jesus said, "In me you have peace." So the challenge is to stay in Jesus. Again, what does that look like? That just looks like calling on him every day. That just looks like acknowledging him every day. That, you know what that looks like? That looks like taking out his plan for you and his roadmap for you and reading that on a consistent basis. What is that plan? What is that roadmap? That's his word. It's the plumb line that measures how we should live. That's how you get him in the middle of things. And then all of a sudden, you begin to learn to trust him, to really trust him. And you find out, you know what? Even though I'm in trouble, I can trust you, Lord. So I can relax in the sovereignty of God. Today, you can relax in the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? Sovereignty just means he's all powerful and he's got it and he's holding things in his hands. His plan is working, and you can relax in that. You can trust him. How many of you are able to relax in the midst of trouble? That's a hard thing to do. It's probably the hardest lesson I have ever learned. It's how to have peace in the midst of trouble without God changing the situation. And it's something that I teach very often here, is you can relax in the sovereignty of God. Rizpah battled. She persevered. She endured. And evidently, King David saw what she was doing. And it reminded him that King Saul and Saul's son Jonathan, who was a friend of David, that their bones were still left hanging like these sons of Rizpah. And he ordered that they be taken down and that they be buried with the rest of his family. And David wound up honoring. As a matter of fact, when David found out after Saul was killed, when David found out about his descendants, most kings, when their enemy dies, they kill all the descendants. David said, "How many descendants are there left?" And you know what David did? He blessed them and he took care of them because he respected Saul. God's sovereignty was working for Rizpah. I want you to know today you can relax in God's sovereignty. Would you stand with me, please? If you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor Keith, I don't know." Maybe you're here today and just because it's Mother's Day, but you felt something and you know something's different. I want you to know that's the presence of God. This is not just a church service. We don't just do religion. We're not about rules. We're about relationship. Maybe today, the trouble that's in your life is that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the biggest problem anyone can have, is not knowing Jesus. If you're here today and you have never given your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. It just means I'm going to become a Christ follower. "Well, Pastor Keith, I've got a lot of bad stuff in my life and I need to go get that fixed first." No, you don't. Jesus says, come to him just as you are. If you're addicted today, if you're a wanted felon, if you are going through a divorce, if you're in the middle of an affair, if you're a religious person that's been to church all your life, but you realize you don't, you are the one God is looking for this morning. It's not the people who are well who need a doctor, it's the sick. So if you're here today and you realize, you know what, I do, I need Jesus. I want to try that. You've tried it your way, and that hasn't been working. Maybe you're in an unhappy marriage, and the trouble is you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't know what to do for your children, and the trouble is you don't know Jesus. So I want to introduce you to him. I want to give you the opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you want to do that in a moment while no one's looking around, I'm going to count to three. If you just slip up your hand and you're saying, that's what I want to do today, Pastor. I want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to become a Christ follower. When I count to three, if you would just slip up your hand, I want to pray with you. Get ready. One, two, three. Just slip up your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? While no one's still looking around, I'm going to say a prayer. We do this together here. If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you pray this prayer in faith, you can know that the Holy Spirit of God will come and live in your spirit, and you can accept Jesus as Savior. Let's all say this prayer out loud after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. That means I've messed up. I'm a sinner. But Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin, and you rose again to give me life. So from now on, I won't live for myself. I won't live for my friends. And I sure won't live for Satan. But Jesus, I will live for you. That means I repent of my sin. I accept you as my Savior. I make you the King of my life. Amen. Amen. John 1, chapter 12 says, to whoever believes upon the name of Jesus, he gives the power to be called a child of God. You're not called this or that. You're not called an addict. You're not called an alcoholic. You're not called a liar. You're not called a thief. You're not called an adulterer. If you just prayed that prayer in faith, you are a child of God, and that's how God sees you. Isn't it awesome to be clean? I want you to know, if you prayed that prayer in faith, you leave here with a clean slate. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad about that? And you know what? You can grow in that. If you'll come back, or if you'll take one of these cards and let us know about that decision, we will help you. We will help you in your walk with Christ. As the prayer team comes, I'm about to dismiss you. I want to thank you again for being here. Remind you that all the ladies get a rose today. If you're a guest, please be sure you fill this green Connect card out. Leave it at the back table. We'll give you a free gift. I'd love to see you here next week. I love a full house. Just makes me feel better. You ever cook, ladies, moms, you ever cook a really good meal and you invite friends over? Your children aren't there and you wanted to show your children off to your friends, and it's, you know how that's kind of disappointing? That's the way I am when y'all, so y'all come back, would you? I want to show you off next week. I want to bless you. After I bless you, I'm not praying. You don't have to bow your heads. I'm just going to speak a blessing over. If you will believe it from God, he'll work in your life. It's not anything that I do. It's what he does. But after that, there's people standing up here that will pray with you. If you are sick and you need healing, they will pray with you. If you're in trouble, they will pray with you about that trouble. It may embarrass you. It may be something that's uncomfortable, but isn't it maybe time to do something that's a little uncomfortable so that you can get something you've never had before? So maybe today's the day that you need to just come up here and ask somebody to pray with you about your trouble, okay? May God bless you and keep you this week. May his hand of favor rest upon you. May he keep you from evil and pain. May he keep you from causing pain. May your brother not pin you down and hold you on the floor and do something nasty and terrible to you. May your children be blessed, your dog, your cat, your lizard, your turtle. May God bless every part of your life and give you favor. We love you. God bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday night. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer.